Today's Bible lesson is entitled Religion versus Relationship. Religion versus Relationship. And our study is going to take us to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Book of Acts, chapter 17. And we're going to look at various verses and the passage, verses 22 to 34 of Acts 17. So let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 17, if you would, please, with me. And in Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 34, Paul is preaching on Mars Hill in Athens. Now, the Athens were much like we are today. As we read in the passage there, it says they spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or hear some new thing. In this passage, we find the mindsets of those who seek God through a religion and those who seek God through a relationship are in stark contrast to each other. Now, religion starts with man. Religion starts with man. I want us to call our attention in Acts chapter 17, verses 24 to 25. We read this: God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, now here it is, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands. Amen. Neither is worship with man's hands. Now, men ask, why are there so many different religions in the world? Well, the answer to that is quite simply, there are so many because there are so many different kinds of men. Now, if religion were from God, there would only be one, because there is only one true God. The Pharisees were religious leaders during Christ's earthly ministry. And he said to them, he said about them in Mark chapter 7, verse 8, Mark chapter 7, verse 8, he said this about them, that they, laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men. So what the Pharisees were doing, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, during his earthly ministry, where they were ignoring the word of God and creating their own religion, their own traditions, amen, making it up as they go along, as they say. Now, Paul preached in Athens where men had religious devotions to God. Paul said in Acts 17:25 this, God is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. In religion, man tries to lift himself up to God. When the devil tempted Eve, he said this, ye shall be as gods. The devil said in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 4, I will be like the Most High. In the first religion, man made a tower to reach unto heaven, often referred to as the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11, verse number 4. So we see, first of all, then, that religion starts with man. Now, relationship starts with God. Relationship starts with God. In Acts chapter 17, verse 24, we are told, God that made the world. God that made the world. Then in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, it says that God made of one blood all nations of men. And then in Acts chapter 17, verse 25, we read that God giveth to all life. And then in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, we read, God hath raised him, referring to Jesus, from the dead. So we see that everything about a relationship with God starts with God, does it not? In fact, John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then in 1 John chapter 4 in verse 19, 1 John 4:19, the word of God tells us that we loved him, loved Jesus Christ, because he first loved us. And then in John chapter 3, verse 13, we are told that God came down to man. Amen. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 1 Timothy 3:16, we are told that God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh as Jesus Christ. Amen. He was revealed in the flesh. Amen. So that he could relate to man. So we see then, religion starts with God. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, we read this, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So we see then, we cannot get up to God. He had to come down to save us. In fact, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So we cannot go up to God as religion tries. No, relationship starts with God. He had to come down to us. Amen. He was God manifest in the flesh. He was given by God the Father to the world because God so loved the world that was in sin in darkness. Amen. Now, in religion, you make sacrifices to God. In religion, you make sacrifices to God. In Acts chapter 17, verse 23, Paul tells us, I found an altar. I found an altar. Amen. And then in verse 25, of Acts 17, it says, as though he needed anything. Amen. As though he needed anything. God didn't need anything. He didn't need the altar that man built. Amen. However, it is the nature of religious men to offer something to God. For example, Cain made an offering of the fruit of the ground unto the Lord, and of course the Lord rejected it, because he was trying, as religion does, to make a sacrifice to God. He was trying to do something so he could go up to God, and that's what religion does. It brings a sacrifice, thinking this is going to make me right with God. Now, when the children of Israel made the golden calf, they offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. Again, making in religion religion, you make sacrifices to God. That wasn't the way God wanted man to approach him. Amen. He doesn't need our altar. He doesn't need our sacrifices. He doesn't need whatever we make up that we think is going to make us right with him. Now, throughout the Bible, you see the nations offering sacrifices to God, or more accurately, to their gods. When Israel did this, the Lord said to them in Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah 1, verses 11 through 15, he said to them, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you." Amen. And then another example is Samuel said to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." In fact, Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, he says, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice." So in religion, men make sacrifices to God. They come up again what they consider a legitimate sacrifice or something that's going to please God, to make them right with God. And of course, God says, "I don't want any part of it. I reject it all. You have to come to me in my way. I have come down to you, amen, so you can meet me." Amen. Now, in religion, you make sacrifices to God. In relationship, God made the sacrifice for you. In fact, in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, we read this, "Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he ordained." And of course, the man is Jesus Christ that's mentioned here. "Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men." So God has given assurance. God the Father has given assurance to all men. What? What has he given assurance about? "In that he has raised him," referring to God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, "from the dead." Amen. So he has raised him from the dead. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verses 10 to 12, we read this. "In every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." And of course, he's referring to the priesthood, amen, that's found in the Old Testament. But what they did there daily didn't take away sins, amen, the sacrifices they made. But this man, referring to Jesus Christ, after he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So we see the difference here between religion and a relationship with God. Amen. In religion, man makes the sacrifices to God. In a relationship with God, God made the sacrifice for you and me. He gave his only begotten Son to die for us, to go to Calvary, to pay the ultimate price so that our sins could be forgiven. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, 1 Peter 3:18, the Word of God tells us, for Christ also has once suffered for sins. Once. He didn't have to do it over and over and over again. Once. Amen. The just, that's Jesus Christ, for the unjust, that's you and I. And why did he do that? That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So we see here clearly, Jesus Christ made the sacrifice, amen, to bring us to God. We couldn't be brought to God any other way. Man's religion, the sacrifices that he makes up, cannot bring us to God. Only the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary can bring you and I to God. Now, in religion, you do what's required to save yourself. In religion, you do what's required to save yourself. We see in Acts chapter 17, verse 23, Paul says that he behold, amen, or beheld, he said, I beheld your devotions. I beheld your devotions. He says that to the Athenians on Mars Hill. So what that tells you and I about religion, all religions have rituals or dogma or sacrifices, sacraments, excuse me, that you must perform and keep in order to be saved. Amen? My childhood religion, I had to complete a series of sacraments, which included baptism as an infant, confession, confirmation, and communion. Now, different religions have different rules, but they all stem from the same basic principle. I have to do something to be right with God. I have to keep something to stay right with God. There are so many different religious concepts of what it takes. Amen. So we see then with religion, you do what's required to save yourself. However, in relationships, your relationship and a relationship with God, God did what's required to save you. God did what's required to save you. In Acts chapter 17, verse 34, when Paul gets done preaching there on Mars Hill in Athens, we're told how certain men cleaved unto him and believed. Certain men believed, amen. In a relationship with God, this principle is unique. It is not what we do to be right with God. It is what he did for us so that we could be right with him. In fact, Jesus said, just before he died on the cross and gave up the ghost, he said, it is finished. It is finished. Therefore, there is nothing more to be done. Your sins are paid. You only need to believe on Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary. So again, religion. You do what's required to save yourself. In relationship and a relationship with God, God did what's required to save you. Now, in religion, you strive to be accepted. In religion, you strive to be accepted. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 23, he said that in all things ye are too superstitious. And he says, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. Now, in religion, once you have done what you're supposed to do, then you have to live it to be accepted by the Lord. And there's always this nagging feeling that you're never quite sure. You go through ups and downs of feeling good about your position with God and feeling guilty about your situation with God. And there's always the question in the back of your mind, have I been good enough? In fact, the Bible tells us you and I can never be good enough. In Romans chapter 3, verse 12, it says this, they are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is the condemnation, the sentence over all of mankind. There's nothing that you can do of yourself to be accepted of God. That's religion. Religion teaches that. And in religion, you hope to get to heaven. In religion, you hope to get to heaven. Amen. Now, if you ask religious men about going to heaven when they die, they will say, I hope so. Amen. I hope so. There's this idea that you have to wait till you stand before God to find out whether you made it or not. Amen. See, anything other than Bible Christianity, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you don't have that, then you don't have assurance of your salvation. See, you believe that you have to wait before you stand before God, and then it'll be too late. You often hear, well, I believe my good deeds are going to outweigh my bad deeds, and so forth and so on. In fact, that's why Paul said to the Ephesians in Acts 17, verse 23, he said, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Amen. They were ignorantly worshiping these false gods, thinking they made up their religion, thinking they could get to heaven. Amen. But they didn't really know. Now, what's beautiful about a relationship with God, in a relationship with God, God has already accepted you. In verse 31, in Acts 17, we are told, it says, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, Therefore, here it is, he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. You have assurance if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that you're trusting in him alone, in his finished work at Calvary to pay for all your sins and give you a home in heaven, then you're accepted with God. He has given you assurance. Amen. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 6, Ephesians 1, verse 6, says that those who have this relationship with Jesus Christ are accepted in the beloved. Amen. You are his child. You are God's child because of faith in Jesus Christ and his blood atonement at Calvary. And nothing can change that. Amen. And thank God for that. We read this in Romans 8, 38 to 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor another creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, another thing in relationship, God has already seated you and I in heaven. Amen? Yes, he has. And praise the Lord for that. Amen? So, my dear friends, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and you're trusting in him, in his shed blood alone to save you, then the Bible clearly tells us that right now we are seated in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, Ephesians 2, 6 says, God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Therefore, in relationship, you don't hope so, you know so. You know you're saved. In fact, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, it says this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, look at that, present tense, that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So when you are saved, you know you are accepted. Whereas with religion, there are many ways to God. In a relationship, there is only one. There is one blood, according to Acts 17:26. There is one Lord, in Acts 17, verse 27. There is only that man, in Acts 17, verse 21. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You have this relationship with God by believing what he said and trusting what he has already done for you in Jesus Christ. As Acts 16, verse 31 tells us, Acts 16, verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you already have this relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then quit treating it like a religion. Grow in your knowledge and understanding of him. And if you don't have this relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then all you have is religion. And yes, someday you will stand before God and be judged and cast into the lake of fire. But won't you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today?